I am so glad to be here in Oklahoma with you this evening. I really need some encouragement. In fact, that's the reason I've come to this meeting, is to get a shot of encouragement. And I've already been encouraged by the songs and by the sermons we've heard. And I hope that I'll be able to say something that will be encouraging and a blessing to everyone this evening. Over in 2 Kings chapter 4, the prophet Elisha was standing up before a group of young men. The Bible calls them the sons of the prophets. These were young men who, as we would say, were studying to be preachers. They were studying to be prophets. And so Elisha was standing up before them and lecturing them and teaching them. And I guess he noticed that they started to droop just a little bit. It was getting close to lunchtime, and they were hungry. You know, I've learned, like most preachers, I guess, that there are two classes of people that are the hardest to preach to. The first class is those people that are full. You know, sometimes we have early services in gospel meetings. We'll have a lunch and then an early service right after the lunch. And it's very, very difficult to keep the attention of people when they're full. But you know what? There's another group of people that are hard to preach to, and that's people that are hungry. I don't know, it may be that some of you in this audience have not eaten your dinner yet, and you're hungry, and so you're having a hard time paying attention. That's the way it was with these young men. They began to droop, and they were hungry, and they weren't paying attention. And so I guess Elisha thinks, what's the point? We need to feed these boys. And so he told one of the young men, he said, put on the great pot and seethe, or begin to boil the pottage or the stew. Now they have these great big pots. You've seen them on television or maybe at an antique place, with feet on them that you could put right up into the giant fireplace or the giant hearth. And so they took this great big pot and put it right up into the hearth. They got the fire stoked and the fire going, and the stew began to boil. Now the Bible says there was one young man who was really hungry, I guess, and he looked over into the stew and he thought, this is pitiful. This is pathetic. Now the Bible said there was a drought in the land. And I have no doubt there was no meat in that stew. Probably not even any vegetables. It was probably just liquid. Maybe there was a bone down there to give it some flavor. And so this young man thinks to himself, this isn't going to give us any nourishment. And so he thinks, I'll go out and see if I can find something to put in the pot. And he goes out, maybe goes to the garden that they had planted earlier in the year. But listen, as we said, there's been a drought. And the garden's dried up. There's nothing in the garden. Well, he begins to scavenger around, and finally, he sees a gourd growing on the ground. It looks like a cucumber or a pumpkin. The Bible said he doesn't know what it is. Now, that's significant. But he picks up a lapful of these gourds. He takes them in. He takes his knife, and he slices them up and puts them into the pot. And the Bible says, I want to reemphasize, he did not know what he was putting into the pot. Now, I want to say something right here. If you're going to put something in the soup pot, if you're going to put something in your mouth, you ought to know what you're putting in your mouth. It is dangerous to eat something when you don't even know what it is. But this young man, I think he had good intentions. He didn't intend to poison anybody, certainly not himself. But he didn't know what it was. So he put it into the pot. They stirred it up. Finally, they rang the dinner bell. Everybody came to their bowls. They dipped out a bowl of soup, a bowl of stew. They sat down and they began to eat. I'm going to tell you something. There began to be some terrible side effects. As one preacher put it one time, it's very indelicate to talk about, and we're not going to go into detail, but they began to have some stomach problems that I won't go into. And it was quite a spectacle. And finally, one young man, alarm speaks up and says, oh man of God, there's death in the pot. You know, it's always been interesting to me that this young man didn't say, you know, I don't think this stew tastes right. I think the stew may be spoiled. No, he said, there's death in the pot. Now, let me say something right here. This pot represents the doctrine pot. That's what I want to make it represent this evening. Over in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 7 and 8, Jesus talked about some people who were teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And he said, your lips praise me, but your heart is far from me. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, don't you know that you offended them? Don't you know you offended those men? When you said that about them, Jesus said, listen, every plant Listen, every plant which my Heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. We better be careful what plants, what doctrine we put into the doctrine pot. And listen, somebody needs to be alarmed. There are some doctrines being preached even among us, and they're dead in the pot. Now somebody says, now wait a minute, don't get so alarmed. What are you so excited about? Take it easy. There's death in the pot. Listen, we've got people leaving the truth and leaving the church. You know them. You know who they are. There is death in the pot. And somebody needs to be alarmed because the consequences are dire and they are dangerous. I don't have much time, but I want to talk about two things tonight that are dead in the pot. First of all is this idea that there is no pattern. There is no pattern for the organization, for the work, or even for the worship of the church. And listen, we know those folks in the big mega churches believe that. But we've got people even in the churches of Christ who have the notion today there's no pattern. That's the reason that some of them are using instruments of music and all kinds of other things. There is no pattern. There's a young man that I talked to not long ago. He's left the church. He was raised in the church. You know what I mean when I say raised in the church. He'd been taught the truth all of his life, but he's left the church. He's worshiping now at one of these mega churches where they use instrumental music and individual communion cups, and the women take a leading role in the worship of the church. I asked him, can I come over and talk to you? He said, come on. Well, he told me. He said, I just don't believe there's a pattern, Jerry. He said, that's what I was taught all my life. I heard it all my life, but I don't believe there's a pattern for our worship anymore. I said, well, I want to ask you something. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes, I do. I said, do you still believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? He said, yes, certainly I do. I said, well, you know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said that a Christian widow can marry only in the Lord. I said, do you believe that applies to us today? Oh, yes. Yeah, that's for us today. I said, well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said if we have an immoral man in the church who won't repent, we're to withdraw from him. I said, do you believe that is applicable today? Oh, yes. I said, that's a pattern. Now, you can call it what you want to call it, but that's a pattern. You believe in a pattern. He said, well, but not when it comes to the worship of the church. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, brethren, I praise you because you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. We have ordinances in the church. Some people would say we don't, but Paul said, keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, the traditions that you received from me, whether by word or epistle, you hold them fast. We have traditions in the church of Christ? Sure we do. Now, we're not talking about man-made traditions. No, we don't care about man-made traditions, but we're talking about traditions given by inspiration, given by the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul said, if any man thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. We have commandments, ordinances, traditions? Sure we do. And we're to keep them. We're to hold them fast. If we don't, there's death in the pot. I want to say secondly, though, real quickly, and this really is something that's really urgent and something that I'm really concerned about, especially since I have grandchildren. And I'm concerned about my grandchildren and your grandchildren today. This immorality, this society that we live in, with all the immorality that is so pervasive, is dead in the pot. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, the woman that lives in sin is dead while she lives. Listen, those movie stars, those rock stars, those sports stars that seem to be really living, we think, boy, they're living, they're dead. They are dead spiritually. Here a few weeks ago, I was in Indiana in a meeting, and the brethren had me in a motel there. And Friday morning, I got up and I went down and got me a cup of coffee. And I came back to the room, and the television was on. I had it on the Today Show. Now, every Friday on the Today Show, they have a concert in Rockefeller Plaza. They have some singer or other. And there was I really wasn't paying attention. I was drinking my coffee. But there was some girl who was singing in Rockefeller Plaza. I didn't know who she was. Now, just a minute, you young people are going to think, Jerry, you're really out of touch. And I know I am. I didn't know who she was. Somebody had to tell me later. And I really wasn't paying much attention, but all of a sudden I heard the lyrics of the song. I'm a little bit embarrassed to even share them with you this evening, but everybody's heard them. It's mainstream in our culture. I stopped and I thought, what did she say? She was saying, I kissed a girl. I didn't know if I would like it. I hope my boyfriend doesn't mind. Her lip gloss tastes so sweet. I kissed a girl. That was Katy Perry. I didn't know who Katy Perry was. That's how out of touch I am. But she's a popular singer in our culture. Now, I'll tell you what bothered me, though. Listen now. More than the words that she was singing, they panned the audience. They panned all those people out there in the plaza, and there were some little girls. I mean, little girls like this, and they were dressed just like her. They had on the same outfit that she had on, and they were mouthing the words. They knew the words. And then their mothers, who brought them there, they were mouthing the words, too. And I thought to myself, are we mad? Are we mad? What has happened to our country? And then I thought about my two little granddaughters. And this is the culture that they're going to have to grow up in. There's death in the pot. Listen, just this last week, President Obama signed into law a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Vice President Biden went on the ABC morning show, and he said, listen, our country has evolved, and gay marriage is inevitable. Our country has evolved. With all due respect, Vice President Biden had the wrong word. He should have said our country has devolved. We haven't evolved, we've devolved. We're not progressing, we're regressing. There's death in the pot. And we need to wake up, and we need to be alarmed, and we need to shout out, there's death in the pot, and point our children and our grandchildren and anybody that'll listen back to the Lord. Listen, there's an antidote for the poison. Elisha, if we went into that story a little further, he poured some flour into the pot and neutralized the poison. And there is an antidote for the poison of sin, and it's the Lord Jesus. The King, Jesus Christ, and his word is the antidote for sin. May we point everyone we can to the Lord Jesus Christ.